Roni's Own Media and RoniesOwn.com proudly present the Once Upon a Time fan podcast special episode. Your hosts are Jeff and Colleen Roni from Orange County, California. And now, on with the show.
Welcome, everyone. I have the extreme pleasure to welcome Barbara Barnett into our little interview room here digitally. And she is a blogger. She's the author of Chasing Zebras, the official guide to house. She's a speaker, and she's a sister-in-arms cheerleading how cool Once Upon a Time is. So it's great to welcome Barbara Barnett. Welcome, Barbara. How are you?
I am great. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely.
Great. Good to be with you.
So now let's take a step back before we talk about Once Upon a Time. Let's talk about House. Now, you really were a huge fan of House. And what was it like before social media to be a fan at that point?
Well, it's interesting you say that, because I started watching House kind of in the middle of the first season. Mm-hmm. And I fell in love with the show after watching, I think, one or two episodes. And I hadn't seen the first 12 episodes. So I was dying to find them. And finding someone on the internet that had access to the shows mm-hmm. was impossible. See, nowadays, you just tweet and you say, hey, I missed the show. Where do I find it?
Sure.
You know, is it on Hulu? Or it wasn't anywhere. So I found this person, and she, I'm not going to say her name because we weren't supposed to be doing this, I guess.
Got it.
She uploaded to me the quintessential, which she thought were the quintessential episodes for me to watch to sort of catch up with the story, and 8 hours apiece. Those episodes uploaded over AOL Instant Messenger.
Wow.
8 hours. And I mean, it's like 8 years ago. It wasn't that long ago. But it was insane. So that's how it was before social media. It was message boards and live journal and finding your friends.
Well, I think the one thing I really have to tip my hat to you is, first of all, I love writing. I love blogging. But you actually wrote and published a book.
Yes, I did.
My hat goes off to you, because that is not an easy feat. At all.
It's not. It's, you have to be insane to write a book. And I admit, to a little bit of insanity and a great agent, encouraging agent and indulgent husband. Mm-hmm. It really took my life over for the months and months it took to write it. But it was fun.
Well, I even saw that you did a couple of times on some local news shows, and that was just so neat that it took your love of a show to another level with the book, and then some accolades along the way, and I know that you speak and everything, so it's really great to kind of see how someone's love of something can really kind of blossom into this larger thing. So.
It totally can. You take something that you're passionate about and make it work into something that you already enjoy doing. I've been a professional writer for years and years and years. Mm-hmm. I took a slight career detour. And now with House and the success of the blog and the success of the book and hopefully writing more books, I'm actually giving up my day job in a couple of months. So. Wow. I'm really kind of taking that step to turn writing into my full-time job. So,
well, we certainly want to just cheer you on.
Thank you.
Because you are so encouraging to others. And I remember there are times when podcasting and blogging is kind of like taking a large vessel into the deep ocean. Some days the water is nice and calm, and other days it's like a storm. And I remember early on, Once Upon a Time, there was these critics coming out from everywhere saying this show's not going to last. And I remember your kind comment on the blog and said, "I love Once Upon a Time, Jeff. Is there anything I can do to help?" And I remember reading that and I said, it's going to be okay. And I really want to thank you for that. So,
well, I appreciate that. You know, it's the more the merrier. You know, everyone uses their media. I write. I'm not much of a podcaster, although I am going to be doing a house podcast, I think. I'm not 100% sure.
Excellent.
Just taking us to the finale. So I'm going to dip my toe in the podcasting water, but I am more of a writer than I am a radio person. So, or TV person.
Mm-hmm.
So I tip my hat to you as well.
I appreciate that. Now let's ask the big question. Besides Jennifer Morrison, what drew you to Once Upon a Time?
Well, you know, my work at Blog Critics, I'm executive editor, co-executive editor, and also TV editor. So I'm always looking for a new TV show.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, Jennifer Morrison, having been one of the stars of House for its first 5.5 seasons, starring in a new show is always a draw. I am a big fantasy person. I love fantasy. I was always in love with, they're called child ballads. They're mostly Celtic, British Isles ballads about elfin knights and fairies and all that stuff. And I've always loved that.
Hmm.
I used to sing them 24 verses long when I was in college.
Wow.
And after. So my life has been steeped in that literature. I liked fractured fairy tales from Bullwinkle and Rocky. I just like the tales.
Love that too.
Yeah. So I thought, well, I'm going to give this show a try. I kind of owe it to my readers and I'm going to watch it. Well, I saw I got an opportunity to see the pilot and I'm going to confess here to my favorite character. I absolutely fell in love with the character of Rumpelstiltskin.
Mm.
And I thought, wow, he's a really interesting character. If nothing else, I'm going to watch to find out what happens to him. And I actually fell in love with the whole show. It's just a great show. And it's been drawing me back every week. And I don't watch much for a TV writer. I don't watch very much TV. So,
well, you're not the only one. I think there's this kind of aversion to the creepy, but all this kind of drawing into just the magic. First of all, Robert Carlyle is a fantastic actor.
I'm such a fangirl.
and this double role is so flamboyant and wild, over the top on the one side, and very, very quiet and very calculated on the other side.
Yeah, there's also, I think, one of the things, and I think it came out particularly in Skin Deep, which was episode 12,
mm-hmm.
but you can see it here and there too. Carlyle is such a layered actor that you can see underneath it all, there's also a certain, I don't want to say fragility, but a certain vulnerability that's there.
Yeah.
It's like catnip to me.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, there's a lot going on with both Rumpelstiltskin and with Mr. Gold, mm-hmm. his alter ego, and just wants you want to know more.
My wife and you really agree on that because she enjoyed Rumpelstiltskin, but the episode that told his backstory with his son and mm-hmm. the scared, protective father. Even in after he took the dark power, the protection of his son and why he did that, it galvanized her to Rumpelstiltskin. So it's very interesting that I hear that from someone else. So, wow.
Yeah, and I think also it also makes you wonder too. I've been curious, and I wonder if they're going to follow up on it. The knight that is so cruel to him in that episode that you're speaking about,
right,
talks about him running away from a battle, and his act of running away from the battle because he no longer, and as Rumpelstiltskin says, doesn't believe in this war at this point. But why was just this one small, poor person with no powers, running away from a battle so significant in turning the tide.
Mm-hmm.
What was he before he was this poor peasant? Was he a knight? Was he someone that was landed? Someone who was part of the nobility that it was all taken away from him by having turned his back on the war?
It's a great point.
So, and I've been really, really bothered, not bothered by it, but intrigued by it.
Well, there are so many levels and points and all in this story as it unrolls. It is much more than a show. Lost became a phenomenon, and
yes,
to a degree, I think Once Upon a Time is becoming that. And one of my next questions is have you, as you kind of tested the air and listened here and there on Twitter or whatever, what have you gathered from people's response of the fairy tales that have been kind of twisted a bit?
I think people are really receptive to that. Some people say, well, you know, maybe Rumpelstiltskin's in too many episodes. Why is he in everyone's story? Or, what is this person doing in that person's story? But I think for the most part, people are really receptive to it. I know that there was an author, I think his name is, I'm going to get the first name wrong, I think, Jason Fjord. It's F-F-O-R-D-E.
Okay.
He's a British writer, and he writes mashup novels. The Eyre Affair, which is about Jane Eyre, but it's in its own kind of storybook land where characters from Hamlet meet characters from Jane Eyre, mean characters from, you know, so I think people are, and those books are huge hit.
Mm-hmm.
I think people are receptive to mashups from what I've picked up.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think there are groups of purists that love the story in its original form. And what's interesting is normally people think the original form was created by Walt Disney in a cartoon version. And
they knew.
Right. And so it's interesting. Those people think that they're purists. But then if you kind of explain, oh, listen, you know, Walt kind of had to clean them up a little bit to get them, you know, to in a family friendly, you know, place where you could show them to families. And, oh, really? You know, that's what happened in the original Snow White. I had no idea. So, I think the challenge is to get all these types of folks together to watch one show. And sometimes sparks fly, but most of the time people kind of, you know, hunker down and say, we love the show no matter what. So, the thing about Lost, I love that it really pointed to great cuts of music. It also pointed to great books, and it used a platform of a TV show to kind of get people interested into questions about the afterlife, belief, science. And it was really kind of a water cooler list of things to discuss with people. And I think in a way, Once Upon a Time is very similar. Some people like to talk about fairy tales, and other people like to talk about love and what's right and wrong. And so anyway, it's a very interesting show to watch it kind of.
Well, I think one of the themes that a couple of the themes that have popped out at me on Once Upon a Time is, and it's subtle, is the idea of what is the right thing? What is the greater good?
Right.
The greater good. It's like the greater good is often a theme on it. It's like every TV show that I watch that I like has the greater good sort of as an undercurrent, which is kind of interesting to me about my own psychology, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
But what does it mean? What is the right thing to do? But the other theme that really pops out at me, and I think pops out at other people as well, is this idea of choice. No matter what your choice is, it comes with consequences.
Right.
Magic has consequences.
Mm-hmm.
Choices have consequences. Whatever you do has consequences. And maybe your best to think about those consequences before you really screw it up for everyone, or mm-hmm. you screw it up for yourself, or. But the idea that nothing comes without consequence is kind of an appealing and interesting theme, I think, that runs through the show as well, in addition to love and what is the magic of love, what is the power of love, what is the magic of belief. There's a bunch of nice themes that run through the show, but I kind of like this magic comes with a price. Mm-hmm. Just really pops with me.
Well, and the whole consequence part of it, I mean, it was interesting in the last episode last Sunday is the Blue Fairy said it would be better for Astrid and Dreamy to not be together, that they would be happier. And I, you know, there's a number of other podcasts and people that were talking about how can that be? You know, love is the greatest thing. And so if they're together, they would be in love. But, you know, people have other ideas. Say, no, I think you're going to be happier separate. So they love to turn things on its head. And that's why I love the writing of the show. So.
Oh, yeah, it's great. And it's also with last week's episode, this idea of what's really your destiny. Mm. You know, is your destiny to have a personal relationship with someone else? Or is it a greater destiny to keep doing what you're doing to make the world keep working the way it's supposed to?
Yeah.
That's that greater good thing again.
Mm-hmm. I think the magic of a show, I keep going back, a show like Lost and Once Upon a Time, is it does have this way of people with different points of view, different beliefs coming together to watch one show. And, you know, in the environment in which we are living in today, politically, belief systems, whatever, it's nice to have one show where people can kind of come together, maybe put in neutral for an hour and mm-hmm. really relive the past when you remembered about dreams, about wishes, about destiny, about magic. And it's just, there's so much I love about the show. I mean, the acting is incredible. The writing is incredible. You know, I was hooked pretty much from the beginning, and it sounds like you were the same. So
yes. You know, the other thing about the show that's unique, and I think it is unique, is that it's a show, and I don't have little kids anymore. My youngest is 20. Hmm. Now I'm giving my age away. but all my readers who are in their 20s, keep reading. Mm-hmm. But I think it's a show that you can watch as an adult and pick up on the adult ideas and themes that you can watch with your small children.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are times the show gets a bit intense, I think, for really small children, but so do the Disney animated fairy tales. But I think it's something, you're right, that no matter what your political belief are, what no matter what your social perspective is or cultural perspective is, you can find something to enjoy in these tales, which maybe is why they're so timeless.
Right.
And this casts them in a very different way. So yeah, I agree. And I agree about the writing. I've had the privilege of talking to Jane Espenson several times since the beginning of the season and having email exchanges with her and other things. And you know, I can't talk enough about her writing. Everybody's writing is great on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all, you know, they all know how to tell a story very well. And yeah, writing, acting. I love Lana Parrilla, I think is how she pronounces her name.
Mm-hmm.
I always called her Lana Parrilla, but I think it's Lana Parrilla. She is fantastic as the evil queen.
Yeah.
And I love Lee Ehrenberg. I loved his Grumpy in last episode.
Yep.
Everyone steps up to the plate.
Well, I did want to mention the Jane Espenson live tweet that you put together. I just really want to thank you for really kind of going beyond to give the opportunity for fans to interact with Jane about the writing and the show. I just want to thank you for that, because it is really great that you not only write because you enjoy and you're a fan of the show, but you also think about the other fans and everything. So I just want to thank you for that.
Oh, you're welcome. It was so much fun to do it. I actually didn't know she would say yes. Mm-hmm. So I was absolutely tickled. I think she said yes, because I had just done a chat with a colleague of hers who writes for House, Kath Lingenfelter, and we had just done a live chat. And I was like, Jane, I just did one with Kath. Would you do one with us? And she said yes right away. So I was absolutely tickled that she agreed to do it. And we had something like, I think it was like 130 people in the room.
Wow.
No, maybe not that many. But we had a lot of people in the room. But then afterwards, I think more than 2,500 people have replayed that that chat.
Wow.
Since then. So, which is really exciting. And I'm hoping to do another one of those, if not with Jane, with someone else, certainly before the end of the season. Maybe Carlisle, who's on Twitter now, will say yes.
Yes.
We can only hope.
Absolutely. And I have never seen, especially now, a cast be so kind and interactive with the fans than with Once Upon a Time.
I'm stunned. I am like, you didn't see that with House at all.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a little bit. Omar Epps would get on and tweet, and Jesse Spencer from time to time. But I think one of the things that is remarkable about the Once Upon a Time cast is that during episodes where they're featured, they've actually been on tweeting during the episode and having conversations with the fans. That's to me unheard of.
Mm-hmm.
It's incredibly generous of their time. And I know that when Jane came to my chat at Blog Critics, we were cognizant of the fact she needed to go because she was going to live tweet during Skin Deep.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to imagine that had Robert Carlisle been on Twitter back when that episode aired, he might have tweeted himself, but he's only been on Twitter for a couple of weeks. So
yeah,
maybe his next episode.
We can hope. We can hope for sure. But I really want to, again, thank you for all that you do to really kind of support Once Upon a Time. I think you do a great job, and it's just nice to kind of work alongside, help you out, and do what we can do together. So I just want to thank you for all that you do.
Thank you so very much.
So give us a kind of a glimpse of you kind of mentioned a few things of the future for Barbara, but what's coming up? What's going on with Blog Critics? And give us a little future glimpse.
Okay. Blog Critics is going strong. Please come and see us at blogcritics.org. And we're following a number of TV shows. And actually, crossing my fingers here, we are hoping to do a big redesign over the next year. We're owned by Technorati Media, and they have promised us, now it's on the air and it's public. I hope they don't kill me or take away my job. But we're hopefully going to have a big redesign of the site, which will make things much more community-based and social media-based, which will be kind of fun. So that's on the Blog Critic side. I'm going to be covering Game of Thrones personally as soon as that comes back on the air. I've just actually written a chapter for a book that I can't talk about yet, but it's not a book on TV. But I'm actually going to probably do another chapter on it as well. So I've got a lot of writing going on personally, and a pretty big speaking agenda. So things are hopping for me. And as I said, I'm leaving my day job. I'm confident enough to leave my day job at the end of June and start writing full time. Maybe it's like a matter of you get what you wish for, maybe there are going to be consequences to that.
Yes.
We don't know what those are going to be, but hopefully they will be good consequences and not too much cursed by the evil queen.
Oh, I hope not. If so, we'll have to look up Emma, and we'll get to work on that. So
good.
But definitely check out Barbara's work. She's just great. And so go ahead and take a look. She's got a lot of different things that she's following and doing. So it's just been a great time. So I want to thank you again, Barbara, for your time.
Thank you so much. This has been a lot of fun, and good luck with the podcast. And Once Upon a Time is on again tomorrow night. So cool.
Yes, yes. And thank you again.
Okay, take care.